Blog Talk Radio.
Might as well put your hands together.
Praise the Lord on tonight. Yes, this is Thursday night, May 18th, 2017. You are now in tune to Are You a Liability or an Asset to the Kingdom of God Internet Radio Show. I am your host, Brother James Brown Jr., and I come to you live from Detroit, Michigan, each Thursday night and each Saturday night from 8 to 9 p.m. So I thank you all for tuning in on tonight. Faithful listeners, thank you for tuning in. I'm asking all listeners, if you will please get your Bibles and pens out and ready so that you can follow along with the man of God, Deacon Warren Wynn, as he brings forth the word on tonight. So get your Bibles and pens and paper ready now so that when he comes forth with the word, you can follow along with him. But as we always do, we always open up with prayer. So I'm asking all listeners, if you would open up with prayer with me on tonight. Again, this is Thursday night, May 18, 2017. Eternal God, Heavenly Father, it's in the name of Jesus Christ. We come once again to give your name praise. We come to give you glory and honor. We come to say thank you for who and all that you are, Heavenly Father. Thank you for this another day that you have made. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you cannot fail, you cannot lie or change. We just thank you again, Heavenly Father, for your word lets us know that you said that we are to rejoice in the days that you allow us to see. We are to rejoice and to be glad in them. So we are grateful for this another day that you have allowed us to see. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we come asking that you will forgive us of all of our sins and our transgressions on tonight. that our prayers and that the word would not be hindered on tonight, that it would accomplish everything that you set forth for it to do over the airways on tonight for your glory in Jesus' name. Heavenly Father, we come listen to all those that are sick and afflicted all over the land. Touch, heal, and deliver as only you can. Heavenly Father, we also lift up all those that are bereaved in the name of Jesus. We know that you are still a comforter. We know that earth still has no sorrow that heaven cannot heal. Heavenly Father, we also lift up all those that are behind prison bars, those that are in nursing homes and abused shelters, Heavenly Father, the homeless. All those we're duty-bound to pray for, our president and worldwide leaders, our bishops and pastors, our firefighters and nursing doctors, those that care for us and look out for us. So we thank you for each one of them, and we ask that you would just continue to have your way in each of our lives, that you alone will be glorified. We pray, Lord, on tonight that through the word on tonight, that should there be any listener that do not know your son, Jesus Christ, that do not have a personal relationship with your son, that through the word on tonight, that through a song or a prayer, that their spiritual eyes will become open on tonight, and that they will be able to open their own mouth and confess the Lord Jesus Christ and ask him to come into their hearts so they can be saved in his name. And then once they are saved in his name, they will come to know their God purpose. And not only will they know it, they will walk in it, and they will live in their God purpose each and every day for your glory is our prayer in Jesus' name. So we just pray, Lord, that you would just move by your spirit on tonight to decrease so that you may increase in us, because we know it's not about us, it's about you. So we just thank you for the opportunity to be able to spread the good news of Jesus Christ as your vessels, as your ambassadors, as your servants on tonight is our prayer in Jesus' name. And all the people of God said amen. Well, on tonight, we do have another spiritual food for thought. Tonight's spiritual food for thought comes to us telling us that if you are growing spiritually, and there's a question behind it, what is on your hook? Again, tonight's spiritual food for thought. If you are growing spiritually, what's on your spiritual hook? Are you trying to be a representative of Jesus Christ, that you are showing love and compassion, that people can see Jesus Christ in you? Are you trying to be a doer of God's word? So the question tonight is, what is on your spiritual hook if you are spiritually growing in the Lord on tonight? I'm asking all listeners, please go with me to blogtalkradio.com/servants/ambassadors/vessels and click on follow. I do welcome all comments and feedback from listeners. You can email me at alllowercasejames_brown1558@yahoo.com or on Facebook. Well, again, on tonight, my guest is Deacon Warren Wynn. He is the superintendent of our Sunday school at the Shield of Faith Church, while Bishop James A. Jennings is our pastor and shepherd, while I am also a member. Again, our guest on tonight is Deacon Warren Wynn, the Sunday school superintendent of Shield of Faith Church, where Bishop James A. Jennings is our pastor and shepherd. So I'm asking all listeners, please get your Bibles and pens ready if you don't have them out already, so you can follow along and take notes as the man of God brings the word of God on tonight. Before he comes forward with a short testimony first, before he bring the word, I'm going to ask him to share a very short testimony. But before he do that, I do have two announcements that I'd like to make to the listeners on tonight. Previously, I have been announcing, and I'm going to continue to announce it for a couple more weeks. I'm asking all listeners, if you have never patronized the Firehouse Sub restaurant, I'm asking all listeners, please patronize your local Firehouse Sub restaurant. Not only are they firefighters, these are firefighters that have opened up restaurants around the country in America. And they are firefighters. They look out for us. They put out fires and they save lives. But they do have restaurants. And my sisters and I had a chance to visit with them for the first time. And we were so pleased with the food and the courtesy and the experience that we experienced on our first visit. I thought it would be only right and fair to announce to the listeners to please patronize your local Firehouse Sub restaurant, because, again, not only do they put out fires and save lives, but as you patronize them, through your patronizing them, some of the money that you purchase your food with go into a fund, and they give back to the communities and to agencies like homeless shelters and food banks and agencies that helps out with children's health and issues. So they give back financially to the communities. So I'm asking you to please patronize your local Firehouse Sub restaurant. My final announcement is, I am so excited to announce that God has opened up some new doors through this internet radio show. Again, you are now in tune to Are You a Liability or an Asset to the Kingdom of God Internet Radio Show. And again, I am your executive director and brother James Brown Jr. God has placed up under my direction now two new hosts. And I'm going to give you the title of their radio shows and their dates and times. If you can take these dates and times down, you may want to take time out to follow along with them as well when they come over the air, over the airwaves, over the same platform. The first one is Vidaria Hayward, Sister Vidaria Hayward. Her show is titled Releasing the Sounds. She comes on every fourth Saturday night from 6:30 to 7 p.m. Again, that's Releasing the Sounds every fourth Saturday night from 6:30 to 7 p.m. And then also we have Jose Dorsey, Theologically Speaking with Jose Dorsey. He comes on each first and third Thursday from 6:30 to 7 p.m. He just finished with an excellent show on tonight. And so we are change agents for the church. That's what his topic was. We are to be that change agents in the world, that the church, the body of Christ. That's what we are supposed to be, change agents for the world, that the world will see Jesus Christ in us as the change agents, as we change the world through the word of God. So again, Theologically Speaking with Jose Dorsey, he comes on each first and third Thursday from 6:30 to 7 p.m. But I am so excited now to bring forth my guest on tonight in the person of Deacon Warren Wynn, our superintendent of Shield of Faith Church, again, where Bishop James A. Jennings is our pastor and shepherd. Deacon Wynn, would you please share with the worldwide listeners again, would you please share with us a short testimony? Following your short testimony, I'm going to do a music break, and following that, I'm going to come back, and I will yield the mic to you to deliver God's word. But please share with us a short testimony first.
Praise the Lord, Brother Brown.
And praise the Lord.
Thank you for allowing me to be on your show. My testimony is short today. You know, I just want to come from a different angle on testimonies, because a lot of times the only testimonies we hear is how something bad happened to us, and you know, and that's good, though, how God delivered us from it. But I just want to testify how the Lord has worked with me and allowed me to grow in His grace and in the knowledge of His Son, Jesus Christ. And I think that is a real blessing because of the change that it has affected in my life. And I just wish that every brother and sister out there could experience what I have experienced about just by learning and studying the Word. It's a real blessing, and I encourage everybody to study the Word more. You'll be surprised what it'll do for you. And that's my testimony for tonight.
Amen. What a powerful testimony it is. And sometimes, like you said, sometimes testimonies don't always have to be long. You can get straight to the point. But you have that was a powerful testimony. Yes, we are to be growing in grace, and we are to be learning and studying the Word of God so that we can be more witnesses as we grow in the Lord. We can share our testimony of our new growth in the Lord, and that's how He is redirecting us and taking us from glory to glory and from new level to new level and higher heights in the Lord as we learn and study about Him and what we are to be doing as Christians as on a daily basis, as a lifestyle, not just on a Sunday or Wednesday or whenever you attend Bible class or Sunday school, but every day. So we thank you for sharing that powerful testimony, Deacon Wynn. Right now, we're going to go forth with our music break on tonight, and I am so in tune to what is going on in the world right now that we are living in such a time as we're living in, for such a time as this, we are to be in great need to be praying one for another, not only our world leaders and our pastors, but we are to be praying for our neighbors, our communities. And everywhere we go, we see people that don't even look like they're in their right minds because the enemy has their minds and they're going through so many things. And we're not to judge anyone. Only way we can judge someone is through the word, righteously judging someone. But other than that, we cannot go around judging anyone, because had it not been for the Lord on our side, where would we be? So we want to continue to lift up those that are, we see that look like they don't know where they are, the homeless, all those that we're duty bound to pray for. We want to continue to pray for one another. So that's what the song on tonight is talking about. Pray for me, because we are our brother's keeper. We are to pray one for another, because the word of God says that the world would know how we love God by the way we love one another.
Amen.
Come on, KD.
An old song from North Carolina, Currituck, North Carolina. Maybe some of y'all know this, but I'm gonna sing this song here. My, my, my. Pray for me. Yes, sir.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Yes, we all stand in the need
praise
of prayer, so that's why we are to be praying one for another. Well, I'm so excited to be able to bring forth Deacon Warren Wynn. He's going to be bringing forth the word on tonight. So right now, I am yielding the mic to you, Deacon Warren Wynn, to deliver God's word on tonight.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Brother Brown. Can y'all hear me really good there? I guess so. All right, our lesson for tonight is God's love for Nineveh, and it's coming from the one of the minor prophets, Jonah. And our lesson text comes from Jonah chapter 3, if you would like to turn to your Bibles and find it. And our aim for change in his lesson is we will explore how repentance is related to God's love. And since the joy that comes when we are forgiven or wrong, and share examples of times when wholeness and peace are the results of God intervening love. Okay? You know, lots of times the world that we live in today, the community that we live in, is plagued with separation and violence. And we just want to ask a question tonight. What can bring people together to live a wholesome and wholeness and peace. Well, when we study this lesson tonight, we should get a little insight from it about how to do that. So our lesson comes from Jonah chapter 3, and it's only 10 verses. I'd like to read them for you if you don't mind. It says, verse 1, it says, "Then the Lord spake to Jonah a second time, and go to the great city of Nineveh and deliver the message I have given you." This time, Jonah obeyed the Lord's command and went to Nineveh, a city so large that it took 3 days to see it all. On the day Jonah entered the city, he shouted to the crowds, 40 days from now, Nineveh will be destroyed." The people of Nineveh believed God's message, and from the greatest to the least, they declared a fast and put on burlap to show their sorrow. When the king of Nineveh heard what Jonah was saying, he stepped down from his throne and took his royal robes. He took off his royal robes and dressed himself in burlap and sat on a heap of ashes. Then the king and his nobles sent this decree throughout the city: "No one, not even the animals from your herds and flocks, may eat or drink anything at all. People and animals alike must wear garments of mourning, and everyone must pray earnestly to God. They must turn from their evil ways and stop all their violence. Who can tell? Perhaps God will change his mind and hold back his fierce anger and not destroy us." When God saw what they had done and how they had put a stop to their evil ways, he changed his mind and did not carry out the destruction he had threatened. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading and hearing of his words. Now, just in case you don't know what's going on here, I'd like to give you a little background about Jonah. In chapter 1, God came to Jonah and gave him a message and told him to go and cry unto Nineveh. And Jonah took off and went the other way. The reason he did that was because he hated the people of Nineveh. They had put them in captivity, destroyed them, and mistreated them. So he didn't like the idea, even though God called him to preach to Nineveh about their salvation. He didn't like it because he knew that if they heard God's message, they were going to change and accept it. All right, so he got on a boat and headed to Joppa. But God knows and see, he knows where we're at. He knows what we're thinking. He knows what we're doing. At this point, he's running away from God. All right? And he gets on this boat, and God sends a great storm, a great tempest on the water. It's so bad that it almost breaks the boat in half. And the men on the boat, they are heathens. And they don't know God, so they start crying to their God, asking them to save them, with no results. Jonah went down in the bottom of the boat and went to sleep. So they go down there and wake him up and tell him, "You pray to your God." And he winds up on deck, and they ask him, "So why is this happening to us?" Even though Jonah was disobedient to God, he was an honest person. He told them, "This storm is my fault because I'm running from God." He said, "Well, what can we do?" They said, he told them, "Just throw me overboard and you'll be all right." even though he told them that they tried to save him, they tried to row to the shore, but it wasn't happening. So finally they prayed and asked God not to hold it against them because they were going to take this man's life. And they threw him overboard. And because of it's some miracles going on here, because even though Jonah is not doing it right, because of him telling them that he served the true and the living God, they turn around and believe in God, at least for that moment. And God saved them. They even made vows to God. And I want to say something about making a vow to God. If you do make one to God, make sure you keep it. All right? So Jonah gets thrown overboard into the sea, and God has prepared a great fish to swallow him up. Now Jonah stayed into the belly of this whale for 3 days and three nights. And while he's in there, he seems to realize that, I think I better communicate with God here. So that's point number one. When you're in trouble, the best thing to do is, if you know God, and even if you don't know him, is to call out to God. Ask him to forgive you of your sins. And in this lesson also, you'll find a lot of repentance going on. So Jonah is in the belly of the fish. He repents of his disobedience and not obeying God and asks God to save him. And he realizes that salvation can only come from God. Oh, hallelujah. And so after he repents and realized that he must do what God has asked him to do, God talks to the fish. You know, God has control over everything, the wind and the sea and us. And he tells this fish to spit Jonah out on dry land. What a blessing. So at this point, he's running. He was running from God. Now he's running to God. And that brings us to our lesson, which is in chapter 3. And he's going to be running with God. All right? So God gives him a message again. Hey, you still got to go to Nineveh and preach the word to him. Preach what I tell you to preach. And I think that's so important for us today to know that when God gives us a message, we can't change the message to say what we want to say. We have to say it just like God said it. Even if you just stand in your Bible and you're delivering a message from God or from the Bible, we should stick to what the Bible says. And not try to add anything to it or take anything from it. Try to make it fit our situation. That just won't work. We have to preach it and teach it just like the Bible says. So even back in the old days, they used to say, what thus says the Lord. And I think we're kind of getting away from preaching what thus says the Lord. And the mark of a true prophet is he doesn't say what he wants to say. He says what God tells him to say. Amen? Hallelujah. Are you listening to me? So God tells him to preach what I tell you to preach. Now it talks about Nineveh. And Nineveh is a large place, a large city. And it says that if you was to travel through it, it will take you 3 days to get through it. I don't know where Jonah is when he gets this message, but it says he travels to Nineveh. And when he gets there, he starts preaching to them. And it says that he does it in one day. Now, I ain't quite sure about that one. I don't know if he goes through the city in one day, where it takes 3 days to go through the city. But I know it mentions one day here. And so his message to the crowd was, 40 days from now, Nineveh will be destroyed. Now, to these people, Jonah is a foreigner. He's a Jew, and they're Gentiles. But see, God has set in motion where he wants everybody to be saved, not just the Jewish people, but he wants everybody that's listening to me and people all over the world, no matter what race they are or what nationality or whether they're white, black, blue, or green. He wants everybody to be saved. So you can see that in his love for these people, he sends Jonah there to tell them to straighten up and fly right. And I just can't help but think about the place where we live and the stuff that's going on in our world, in our city today. Every day you listen at the news, it's somebody getting shot, somebody getting killed, little kids getting shot, and somebody coming up missing, and a house burning down. It's just too much violence going on in our city. And I just often wonder what would happen if we would preach God's message just like he wants us to preach it, so that people would be convicted of their sin and turn from their wicked ways and give God the praise and acknowledge him as Lord and King and Savior. I just can't wait to see that happen. And I'm going to keep praying that it does. Even if I had to get out there on the corner and preach it myself. Y'all prayed for me on that one, though. Oh, hallelujah. But anyhow, Jonah preaches, in 40 days, y'all going to be destroyed, and he must be telling this is from the Almighty God, Jehovah, Yahweh, or whatever he was calling it. And the Bible says that the people of Nineveh believed God's message. And from the greatest to the least, they declared a fast and put on burlap to show their sorrow. You know, sometimes we don't even be sorry for the sins that we commit. We think it's all right. Or maybe we think that God just doesn't care. But God sees and knows everything we do and hears everything we say. There's no place we can go where we can escape from God and his wisdom and knowledge. But these people who are heathens and Gentiles, they hear the word of God and they believe. In contrast to Jonah, he heard the word of God and he went right another way. Like, I ain't going to do that. But I can understand that, though, because I've kind of like been there myself. When you think about it, you know, I was a young man. I was first started out going to church down in Detroit back in the 60s. And because I was hanging out in the bar, and the bar and the church was right next door, I thought, man, well, baby, I don't need to go to church. Bad decision. So I could kind of understand how Jonah felt. But anyway, his word must have been powerful and effective because the people believed it. I just wish the word today would be that effective, that people would believe what God says. Even when the word got to the king, and normally the king is the one who leads out with this kind of stuff on fasting and making decrees, but he follows the people when he hears what Jonah is preaching. And says throughout the city, no one, not even the animals, nor your herds or flocks, may eat or drink anything. And I imagine there's a lot of noise going on in that city because for 40 days, I don't know if they fasted for the whole 40 days, but there had to be some hungry folks up in there and some thirsty ones. But they did it, whatever it took. They have changed their heart. These were some violent people. They would mistreat their captives. You know, they had captured the northern kingdom of Israel, and also they were planning to throw down Judah. These are all God's people. And when they captured, held them captive, they would mistreat them. They kind of remind you of the war with the Iraqis over there and the Muslims. You know, they capture folks and cut off their heads and stuff like that. That's cruel. I mean, if you're going to have a prisoner of war, have a prisoner of war, but don't cut his head off. That's what these people were. They were just violent and evil and wicked. And God didn't like it. And to the world today, your violence, and your wickedness and your evilness, God still doesn't like it. But, see, repentance is turning from your wicked ways. And that's what these people did when they heard what God was going to do to them. They repented. And, you know, that's another thing. You don't hear much about repentance these days. They're preaching a whole lot of stuff. And we're teaching a whole lot of stuff. But we're not preaching and teaching repentance. We're not telling folks how much God loves us. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And that's been our thing all this month, is that God loves us. God loves us. If you believe and have faith in him and you become one of his children, he loves you so much that he'll protect you from hurt, harm, and danger. He sent his Holy Spirit to lead you and guide you and bring back to your remembrance all that he has taught you, all that our Lord and Savior has taught you. And he keeps us. He sustains us. He loves us so much that he provides for us. I mean, there's no end to his love and his mercy. One of the songs that we used to sing, "How Great Thou Art." And how great is our God? He's just awesome. And some places he said he's a terrible God. But it just means that he's just an awesome and terrible, a good God. And he can do anything but fail. So, getting back to our lesson, the people of Nineveh, or the king, he tells the people to fast, call a fast. And sometimes we need to fast, especially when we've been out there doing stuff that ain't godly. And somebody gives us a word and we realize what we're doing is wrong. We should be willing to turn down our plates and come before God and ask for his forgiveness. God loves a contrite spirit. He loves it when you repent. Well, some people might be full of pride. I don't need to repent. I don't need to tell God I'm sorry. But the message might come to you like it came to the Ninevites. What if God was to tell you 40 days and it's all over for you? I wonder would they change their minds at that point. But God has his own special way of dealing with everybody, even me. But they said, maybe just maybe, if we straighten up and they pray to God, even God will change his mind and hold back his fierce anger from doing us in. Maybe he won't destroy us. Maybe if you're out there living in sin today, maybe God won't destroy you. And maybe you might think you're getting away with it now because there's nothing happening to you. The judgment day is coming one day. Whatever you've done, you got to pay for it. God won't let you escape for your wrongdoing. But he is a loving God, and he's long-suffering. That's why you haven't been punished today, because God is long-suffering. He gives everybody a chance to repent of their sins. So I admonish everyone to think about what you're doing today. And I mean, I know everybody ain't bad, because in the Bible it says that God has 700 prophets that have not bowed the knee to Baal. So I just know that 700 and multiply, and there's some really true God-fearing Christians out there serving the Lord, witnessing for him, and doing everything that they're supposed to do. But those of you who are not, I do admonish you. Repent. Accept the Lord Jesus as your Savior. So, the last verse, verse number 10, says, when God saw they had what they had done and how they had put a stop to their evil ways, he changed his mind and did not carry out the destruction he had threatened. And just like he changed his mind about destroying the Ninevites, if you repent, he can change his mind about you today. Brother Brown, that's our lesson. And I hope someone got something out of it today.
Praise the Lord on tonight. Praise the Lord. I know if no one else got anything out of it, I know I did. So as I'm all the different guests comes on this over this platform, I'm always taking serious notes as you bring the word, and that's why I ask all listeners to get Bibles and paper out so you can take notes and follow along with the men and women of God that come forth over this worldwide platform to share the good news of Jesus Christ, share the word of God, because yes, we know that God do love us. He do correct and chasten those that he loves. And what kind of God would he be if he knew that we were doing and see that we're doing things that are contrary to his will and his purpose for our lives and is not adding up to what he wanted us to be for his glory, then he would correct us. And so we have to learn how to accept God's love in that form of correction, because if he just loved us, he would. Minds, turn our hearts and minds away from the things of the world and sin that he cannot look upon. That's why I thank God that he loves us. He does not love our sin, but he loves us. And just like you said in the word, it is not God's desire that any souls be lost. It is his desire that all souls be saved. So that's why, people of God, we need to be convicted of our sins. We need to be convicted and turn from our sins. And just like he was just saying, Deacon Wynn, not only do that pertains to him, that pertains to me, that pertains to you, the listeners, your pastors, your bishops, your shepherds, whoever the man or woman of God that's over you as a under shepherd, that goes for them as well. So he have no respect of persons. What he said to one, even back in the Old Testament days, he have not changed. His word do not change. It goes for all of us because his word tells us that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But because of his love, God's love for us, he sent his son, Jesus Christ. And because of Jesus' love for God and mankind, Aren't you glad that Jesus loves us so much that he died for you?
Yes,
he died for me.
Yes.
He paid our sin debt with his own blood, the debt that he did not owe, but he knew that we could not pay it because we were sinful. And so because he was sinless, he came down and he paid our sin debt with his own blood. And then he rose from the dead, from the grave, after being dead for 3 days. He came out of the grave with the victory over hell, death, and the grave in his hands. And he's now sitting at the right hand of God, making intercession for the saints of God on tonight. So you listen, who may not be saved on tonight, I pray that you got a word from the Lord tonight, that you too can open your mouth, and even tonight, right where you are, as you hear my voice, as you just heard Deacon Wynn's voice through the message, even right now, you can open your mouth and confess your sins to the Lord Jesus Christ and ask him to come into your heart and save you, because, again, it's not God's desire that any souls be lost. You have a purpose in the earth that only you can fulfill. I have a purpose. Deacon Wynn have a purpose. Your bishop and shepherd. We all have purposes in our life that only we can fulfill. So we are part of the body of Jesus Christ. We are connected. We are one body. It's one body, but many members. So we need each other. So if you are in the body of Christ and you are being called by God to do something, don't do like Jonah did and try to run, because like he did, Deacon Wynn said in the word, there's no hiding place. You cannot hide from the Lord. You can make your bed in hell. He know where you are, and he know how to get your attention, and he know how to get you to do what he have called for you to do. He's not going to make you do anything. It's all about free will, free choice. Whose report are you going to believe on tonight? So know that God loves you in spite of yourself, in spite of the situation, no matter what it looks like. You may be dealing with an issue or situation or health situation, financial problems. Family members may be acting a fool. Members in the church might not be doing what they're supposed to do. But know that God loves you. What are you doing? That's why I'm so glad about tonight's spiritual food for thought. If you are really growing spiritually, what is on your spiritual hook? So that's something for all of us we need to consider and think about. What is on our spiritual hook? Can people see Jesus Christ in us? You don't have to go around carrying a Bible up under your arm or wearing a cross around your neck to say that you're saved and you are a believer in God or a believer in Jesus Christ. Just be a doer of God's word. He said the world would know that you belong to him by the way we love one another. And are we being doers of God's word and not just hearers only? Deacon Wynn, on tonight, thank you again for such a powerful word on tonight. We know that the word of God is always effective. We may hear the same message, but in different forms. The Lord always reveals to us different things through the same message through different individuals. So I know that someone has got something out of this lesson on tonight, knowing that God loves us in spite of ourselves, and no matter what it looks like, God loves us, Deacon Wynn. Thank you for that powerful word on tonight. You continue to be the man of God that he has called for you to be. Continue to be the doer of God's word and not just a hearer only. Continue to spread the good news of Jesus Christ, that you may have a lot of stars in your crown. So when you stand before the Lord, he can say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You have finished your course, because the race is still being ran. You finished your course and you kept the faith while you were spreading the good news of Jesus Christ. So we thank you for that word on tonight. And I pray, listeners, that you was blessed by the word on tonight. I know I was. I'm always blessed by God's word. So as we get ready to close out tonight's program, well, again, we want to thank Deacon Warren Wynn, the Sunday School Superintendent of Shield of Faith Church, where Bishop James A. Jennings is our pastor and shepherd, and I am also a member there. A great shout-out to Bishop Jennings and the Shield of Faith Church family. We love you. Keep doing what God has called you to do in the body of Christ. So we're going to close out tonight's program a little early on tonight, but we're going to pray as we get ready to close out tonight's program. I'm asking all listeners to go into prayer with me at this time. Eternal God, Heavenly Father, it's in Jesus' name, we come again to say thank you for who you are. We thank you for your grace, your mercy toward each one of us. We know that we are not worthy of it. We don't deserve it. We just thank you, Heavenly Father, for who you are. We thank you for your word, that you still watch us over your word to perform it in the earth through your saints for your glory. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you sit high, you look low, and you there's nothing hidden from you. We thank you that you cannot fail, change, or lie. We thank you for who you are. So we thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, our risen Lord and Savior and soon-coming King. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that he came down from glory in the form of a baby, in the form of man, to pay our sin debt with his own precious blood, holy and righteous, sinless blood, which he did. out of love because he loves us. Put his love toward us by dying for us and rising with all power in his hands. And he's now sitting at your right hand, making intercession for the saints of God, even now. So we pray that on tonight that the word will have been effective, that someone that was once spiritually blind, they can now say, after hearing the word on tonight, they can now say that they see because they have opened their own mouth.
Amen.
And asked the Lord Jesus Christ to come into their hearts. And now they are saved, and now they are part of the body of Jesus Christ. So we thank you right now for what you're doing in the earth. We thank you for your word. We thank you for those that are being doers of your word and not just hearers only. So we just pray that you will continue to move by your spirit through this worldwide platform. I don't take light nor for granted because I know it's of your doing and it is marvelous in our eyes. So we just thank you and ask that you will continue to move by and through us through this worldwide platform. And as we continue to elevate and grow in this platform, we pray that you will continue to lead and guide us and that we would never forget where all our blessings come from, that we would stay humble and stay meek, and that others will know that it is your doing and it's not of us, but it's of you for your glory. So we just thank you for this broadcast on tonight, that it was not in vain. We know that you was glorified, and we know that the enemy is horrified. So we just give you the glory on tonight is our prayer in Jesus' name. And all the people of God said, amen. Well, on tonight, know
amen.
Again that I love you. Know that God loves you even more. And how do we know this? He demonstrated his love toward all of us. While we was yet sinners, Jesus Christ, he died for us. So I thank God that he still loves us. He loves you. He loves
Amen.
Even me. So I thank God for his great love for us on tonight. Well, until the next time, continue to be blessed of the Lord. And remember that Jesus Christ thought our life was worth living, that he died for us. So as we close out tonight's program, we're going to close out with this song, Worth Living. Good night.
You thought I was worth saving, so you